Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson, homeschool father of five, raising our children out here in the eastern plains of Colorado. During the demise of Western civilization, the breakdown of faith, family, and freedom, Steve Vaughn in studio with me today. And ladies and gentlemen, today, just a couple of homeschool dads in studio commenting on what's happening with our culture. Dads are concerned. We're not experts necessarily. We're not psychologists here, no politicos, just a couple of dads concerned about the demise of the Christian faith and family and freedom in our present day. Well, today I want to talk about tattooing because we pulled off an article from World Magazine online. I don't know if any of you caught this article, but really a critical issue, I think, to discuss amongst Christians because this thing's coming on like a freight train. Steve, you've seen tattoos around a bit.
All over the place.
Oh, man, they're everywhere. Everywhere you look, they're all tattooed up. And apparently, about 30% of 25 to 29-year-olds have tattoos, and 23% of American adults have one or more tattoos, according to the article here in World Magazine. Now, World does not take a position on this. It's pretty obvious they don't want to get too involved in this thing or take a position that would cause offense. We, however, are not bothered by that.
do we ever say anything controversial?
You know, I think we have from time to time.
Yeah, maybe once in a while.
But, you know, with the decline of the culture, with you know, you start moving from my grandfather's clock was too large for the shelf. Back in the 1880s, that was the number one song in the 80s. You move from that to Eminem's reference to his mother as a female dog. And the rest of us are sitting around thinking, I'm not sure we like this culture very much. The trajectory does not look good. And Steve, you know, this cultural trajectory has been dragged into the church as well. Now, I'm hoping that somebody out there is thinking, wow, you know, back when Doris Day was singing, how much is that doggy in the window? And now you have Katy Perry or whoever it is referring to her fans as female dogs. And you've got her encouraging little 13-year-olds to be lesbians. It seems to me that that's a negative trend. Now I'm hoping there are some parents left, some Christians left in America that would agree with us on that one.
Yeah, I mean, we see this, and you look around, and you go, okay, what has happened? You know, my wife and I, we were thinking that we're like Elijah sometimes. I am left. Is there anybody out there who thinks the same way that we do?
Well, and of course, the issue is that if you come upon a culture that's messed up, okay, and I don't know, they eat people, they murder, they kill babies, they fill in the blank. What you need to do is you need to come to that people and say, here is the standard of God's law. You're breaking it. Now you need to repent and find remission of sins in Jesus Christ. And if that message is preached loud and clear, then people do come to repentance, and that's how you disciple the nations. Now, when churches in America do not want to use the R word or the L word, they hate the idea of repentance, and they would hate to use the word law, because law is very legalistic.
Right.
And if you're going to bring legalism into the church by talking about all of this anti-cannibalism stuff, and this anti-serial murder stuff, this anti-abortion stuff, anti-fornication, whatever the laws of God tell us in Old and New Testament, if you try to establish a standard, that makes antinomians and autonomists very uncomfortable. However, we're past that. We want to call the nations to repentance. It's exactly what Paul did on Mars Hill in Acts 17. He says, in the Old Testament times, God winked at a lot of that iniquity, but now he's calling all men everywhere to repent. And he said that at Mars Hill in Greece, and we're still saying it. However, we say it in my basement now. We're not quite, you know, as popular as Paul was, and so we don't have as much of a mouthpiece as he had. But we're still here at the very, very edge of Western civilization, crying out to the few, the minority that's willing to listen to us, come out from among them, be separate, and we're calling the nations to repentance. All right, so here's the World Magazine article on tattooing. And it, again, talks about how many Americans, more Americans are tattooing. 30% of Americans have been tattooed. And Steve, I would guess that you don't have statistics here, but I'm guessing if you compare that to, say, 1920, you know, you probably wouldn't find 30% of people walking out of churches and walking out of Walmart with tattoos.
Yeah, well, they didn't have the NFL or the NBA back then either. So, yeah, if you took them out, you know, that would be, you know, 50% of the 30%.
But did Babe Ruth tattoo himself?
Not that I know
of. I don't recall that. Luke Gehrig?
No,
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Did, let's see, did Billy Graham tattoo himself?
Not that I know.
George Whitfield?
No.
I don't think so. Martin Luther?
No.
Yeah. John Calvin?
No.
John Wesley? No. Francis Asbury? No. Just going through the 1800s, 1900s.
Yeah.
Trying to think. Let's see, has any Christian tattooed himself in 2,000 years of church history? Wow. Okay, so I'd say 30% is pretty high.
That is high.
Many older Christians condemn tattoos, said the World Magazine article, by quoting the most direct biblical reference to tattoos, Leviticus 19:28. You shall not make any cuts on your body for the dead, or tattoo yourselves, I am the Lord. Others seek exegesis from pastors like John Piper, who said in recent podcast that he receives emails about tattoos almost daily. Piper took two episodes to address the issue and concluded by saying tattooing's not a sin. But be wise and skip it. You know, a little bit like, you know, really, you shouldn't be eating a lot of Fruit Loops in the morning. You know,
right.
One of those deals where, you know, you eat a lot of Fruit Loops, it's not good. The Leviticus passage is explicitly anti-tattoo, and according to Piper, that should at least give us a few minutes pause. And then after that, I guess you get your tattoo.
Yeah.
So wait, John Piper. Yeah,
that's 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Now you can go ahead.
Hold off for 5 minutes. Go get your tattoo.
Yeah.
Sad. I'm just going to say sad. Now, I like John Piper. I'm not going to say any more about him. But friends, we got a problem with tattooing. Tattooing is all over the place, and this move to paganism is just, man. We're going to talk about all the aspects of paganism. The consumption of blood, vampirism, cannibalism, tattooing, divination, polygamy, unisex transvestism, body mutilation, bestiality. It's all coming. It's all coming. That Leviticus stuff, all that Leviticus stuff. Now, some people take the Leviticus 19:28 and says, okay, you don't cut yourself for the dead or tattoo yourself. And they say, well, that also means or tattoo yourself for the dead. Now, it doesn't say that. That's not what it says. It says don't cut yourself for the dead or mark yourself or tattoo yourself. Just says, or tattoo yourself. Don't do this and don't do this. Okay, that's what it says. That's a clear, clear testimony of Leviticus chapter 19. Now, some people also come back and say, yeah, but it also says that you're not supposed to cut the edges of your beards if you're a male. And okay, yeah, the Word of God has something to say about maintaining some distinction in hairstyle between a male and a female. Okay, so apparently the Bible's not into unisex transvestism. And there's another passage in Deuteronomy. It says, abomination for a woman to wear a man's clothes, man to wear a woman's clothes, and on and on and on. So, but you know, people don't want that, Steve. I mean, you have Christian legal rights organizations out in Virginia fighting tooth and nail for the right for high school kids in public schools to cross-dress. Okay? You have Christian lawyers, you know, these legal rights organizations that have been funded by Christians all over America for 30 years. These guys were out there fighting for the rights for 17-year-old boys to dress up in skirts.
Yeah, that's just crazy. And if I mean, I've looked at the Deuteronomy passage on the cross-dressing and things like that. And the purpose of that, there's a couple of reasons for that. The first thing is that the men, what they wore was what they did. And it had a lot to do with military, that the men were the ones who were to fight, and the women were not supposed to take on the military aspects and go out and fight. But, you know, that's changed as well. And that the men were not to put on the things of a woman. They were not to dress to make themselves look like they were women. And so, you know, God really, when he created us and he created us male and female, he made the women extremely beautiful and he had an extreme purpose for them.
Yeah.
And when we dress up as a woman, we mock God.
Mm-hmm.
When we put on breasts or when we, you know, anything like that, we are mocking God.
Yeah. Yeah. And effectively we're trying to change our body into something that he did not create us to be. And tattooing ties into that, too. We'll get into that in just a little bit. Let me continue here, Steve, in the article. They talk about these heavily tattooed Christians, Stankovitz, who professed Christ when he was 18 years old, held off getting his first tattoo, asked several pastors if tattoos are sinful. Some said no, some just said yes, but when Stankovitz asked why, they merely quoted Leviticus and concluded it's just wrong. So he studied the off-quoted scripture and concluded that verse refers to idolatry and paganism.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's why you take a few minutes before you get the
I guess so.
Yeah. And then it moves on. Stankovitz tattoos are Christian-themed. Crucifixes, doves, scriptures, a portrait of Jesus, Rock of Ages, but he's also tattooed secular images, mostly old sailor classics such as panthers and cobwebs. And his wife, Jennifer, a pastor's daughter, is heavily tattooed as well. She is the granddaughter of the late Chuck Smith, founder of Calvary Chapel, an evangelical megachurch that once stoked the Jesus movement. Although her father wasn't too pleased with Jennifer's extreme tattooing, he later asked Sid to tattoo a chain with the Hebrew word Yahweh around his wrist, right underneath his watch. So you got multi-generational tattooing happening in the Chuck Smith family, so FYI.
Yeah.
Just the point being that American Christendom is moving very quickly towards what this guy calls paganism and idolatry. Yeah, it's moving that direction, and it is because that's the direction our entire society is headed towards. We are headed towards some form of apostasy, some form of idolatry or paganism, and it's very rare to find Christians who are sticking a stake in the cliff and saying, man, we're not going to slip down the slippery slope. We're going to continue by God's grace to maintain the Christian faith in the 21st century. Be back in just a moment to talk more about tattooing, friends. This is Kevin Swanson, Steve Vaughn, also in studio with me. And we're back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. As we talk about the trends towards paganism, really aggressive. Wow. It has been so aggressive, Steve. Just in the last 10 years, 15 years. You talk about infatuation with consumption of blood, for example. Vampires. You know, a lot of Christian girls, homeschool girls, have books on vampirism. It seems to be very, very popular. And I don't know if they're actually doing it, if they're consuming blood, whether it's animal blood or human blood. I don't know if they're doing it. But they're infatuated with it, at least. And that's not a good sign, I don't think. Acts chapter 15 maintains a very strong position. Yeah, still in the Old Testament. Yeah, or New Testament, all the way up into the Acts of the Apostles. And if you're an extreme, extreme dispensationalist, I think you still accept Acts, right? If you
yeah.
deny everything, all of the ethical commands prior to Acts. I think after Pentecost, you're still okay with that. So, you know, speaking to my hyper dispensationalist friends, the consumption of blood, the pagan stuff talked about in Leviticus still applies. The three things that have changed, according to the church fathers, over this first number of 300-400 years after Christ, were the Sabbath, circumcision, and sacrifices, those three things. But no reference to these old pagan rites being abolished or the old sexual sins referenced in Leviticus chapter 18 and 20 being abolished. No reference to the civil laws being abolished. We don't find that in church history. Rather, we find that God's law is still informative and the general equity of it still applies. And so we're going to apply it. Now, there's going to be a segment of Christianity that'll say, we don't like these laws. And because these laws represent a paganism in the thoughts and the hearts of human beings over 6,000 years of world history, and whenever it comes to revisit a society, there are people out there that will jump on board these pagan rites, and they will engage in these things mentioned in Leviticus 18 and 20 and elsewhere, and including the consumption of blood, cannibalism, tattooing, divination, polygamy, unisex transvestism, body mutilation, and bestiality, all mentioned in the Old Testament. And yep, it's Leviticus. And see, my point is, these aren't ceremonial laws. These aren't sacrifices. These aren't circumcision. These aren't Sabbaths, where we have explicit reference in places like Romans 14, the book of Hebrews, that there are certain laws in the Old Testament that have been disengaged, but not these. These have not been disengaged. These are still important. These are still informative to us. Now, the pagans understand their symbols, their universal symbols. And one of the activities of paganism is polygamy.
Yeah.
It's polygamy. And, you know, as I was preparing for this message, Steve, I had this book on my desk. I think somebody sent to me. I get all these books sent to me. Here's a book, and this is probably the third book sent to me on the issue of polygamy, written by some kind of a pseudo-Christian author. And you know, B.A. Berean.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. B.A. Berean.
Like he searched the scriptures.
He doesn't want anybody to know who he is yet.
Yeah.
Because it's still not super, super popular. My guess is there are books out there written on Christian tattooing, and the authors are not anonymous because it's still popular. But this is, polygamy is still unpopular. And yet, why? Why should it not be popular? Steve, I think these people who are going for tattoos are going to be into polygamous marriages pretty quick. Now, the best case in the New Testament is 1 Timothy chapter 3, right? Qualifications for elder, husband of one wife. You find a lot of discouragement concerning polygamy in the Old Testament, lots and lots. You also find the texts, God made one man for one woman. They two shall become one. Didn't say they three shall become one.
Right.
It says they two shall become one. So you have some pretty explicit texts in Scripture. However, church tradition is important. Church history is important in establishing things like cannibalism, polygamy, and tattooing and body mutilation is patently non-Christian. It's a non-Christian ethic. If you abandon Christian history, you abandon biblical law, you're going to wind up with all these forms of paganism, including polygamy. That's my prognostication. Steve, I am meeting people at conferences, and they tell me, I raised my daughter to be a godly Christian woman. Now she's in some kind of a marriage polygamous situation.
Wow.
Not Mormons. We're talking Christian background. And they're moving off towards these pagan forms again. This is pagan form coming back. Now, it came back to Mormonism in the 19th century.
Right.
Now it's coming back to evangelicalism.
Yeah, it's just crazy. But you see that the further and further we get away from the law of God, then the further we're going to get into all of these things that are opposed to the law of God. I mean, that's just how it is. You're either on the side of God's law or you are not. There is not a whole lot of middle ground in there, if any at all.
Steve, let's take a look at Leviticus 19 and you look at verses 26 through 29. Here's what you get. Okay. If you're going to look at God's word, we need to pull it out. What does it say? First thing it says, verse 26, is the practice of divination or soothsaying is against God's law. God does not want his people engaging in the pagan rites of divination and soothsaying. And by the way, Steve, this whole New Agey divination thing and the crystal ball and all of that is coming into these pseudo-Christian sects. We're following this. We're seeing it coming out of Colorado Springs in the American evangelical Mecca. Yeah, they're moving towards there because they're moving on the track of apostasy. So if you deny what we find in Leviticus 19:28 and tattoo it, you're going to have to deny the application of Leviticus 19:26, as I see it. Then verse 27, shaving the sides of the beard, that is removing all signs of maleness placed there by God, is prohibited. It's prohibited there. And I think it has, we have to understand what's really being said here. And I think what's being said in this passage, verse 27, is that you have to retain something of a distinction of your maleness, at least in terms of what God has given to you. Okay, thirdly, Making cuttings on your flesh for the dead is also prohibited and ought not to be done. Tattooing marks on the body. Again, verse 28, that's what we've been talking about.
Right.
Then finally, verse 29, prostituting daughters. You're not to prostitute your daughters. Now, I wonder how many Christians would agree with that, would agree with verse 29.
Yeah, I would think they would.
You would think so. Yeah. I hope they would.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
You would think so.
Yeah. You shouldn't prostitute your daughters. God finds that abominable. You prostitute your daughters. That is, you allow your daughter into serial fornicating relationships. That's what prostitution is.
Yeah.
Serial fornicating relationships. That would be bad, according to Leviticus 19:29. Now, again, I'm guessing there are Christian fathers out there that are just allowing their daughters into serial fornicating relationships of some sort.
Right. So if they have multiple boyfriends mm-hmm. that and they are sleeping around, I mean, that's the same thing.
Same thing. That is prostitution. So the Bible does not want you to prostitute your daughters. The Bible does not want you to tattoo marks on the body, make cuttings on your flesh for the dead, practice divination or soothsaying, and you're going to find this all from Leviticus 19, 26 to 29. You got a problem with that?
I don't have a problem with that.
I hope not. I hope not.
Yeah.
Friends, I think what's happening here is people are desperate for identification. This is postmodern self-actualization. That's what it boils down to, Steve. People want to self-actualize. They and this is what you find on the websites. People are identifying themselves by that tattoo. They associate with something by a tattoo. It's like a brand.
Right.
A brand associates you with the X Bar X brand, the cattle ranch called X Bar X.
Yeah.
That's what a brand does. That's what a tattoo does. It brands you to something. It identifies you with something.
Right. And in the old covenant, what it identified you with, if you were, slaves had their heads shaved. They were shaved to identify them as a slave, and then they were further tattooed or branded by their master so that everybody knew they belonged to this guy.
Master, right.
Right. And so this was all having to do with slavery. These people were free. They were set free from Egypt, who Egypt had no hair on their bodies. They were set free from that. God said, identify yourselves as a male, but also identify yourselves as free people. Mm-hmm. And so tattooing and the hair, all of that identified you as free.
Yeah. And Steve, I think when people now identify themselves with X, Y, or Z, A, B, or C, maybe, I love Lisa.
Right.
My heart, Lisa, or whatever it is, they're identifying themselves with a dragon, or they identify themselves with a spider, or they're identifying themselves with something, some ideal.
Right.
And by doing this, they self-actualize. They define themselves. They say, this is what I identify myself with. Now, as it turns out, we are supposed to identify ourselves with God.
Right.
And with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Christian. Now, the Christian tattoo guy comes back and says, yeah, and that's exactly
right.
What I did. See, I tattooed Christ on my forehead. Big
right.
Christ on his forehead. So, therefore, I am identified with Christ. I come back and I say, actually, that's the wrong sacrament.
Right.
Because there's actually another sacrament that God established whereby you identify yourself and unify yourself with Jesus Christ. All those baptized into Christ are in Christ, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I think it is. So the baptism is the identification. The baptism is the brand.
Right.
The baptism is the tattoo. And that's the sacrament or the sign or the seal that God has appointed for Christians. And when someone says, well, that's not good enough for me, God.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. I'm going to put Christ. And that's how I'm going to identify with the other Christ. I mean,
right.
With whatever Christ I'm trying to identify myself with. You see, God comes back to us and says, you know what? I gave you a sacrament. I gave you a brand. I gave you a sign.
Yeah,
to put on your body. And that was baptism.
Right. And it talks about the mark of the Lamb in Revelation.
It does.
And so we have that mark of the Lamb on our forehead. It is not written mm-hmm. in ink on our right. forehead. It is written by the Spirit of God mm-hmm. on our forehead. That is who we are.
The baptism cut deeper than circumcision, as I see it, Steve. It was an identification with Christ that was very, very, very deep. Believers used to consider it to be a means of really identifying with Jesus. But over the years, baptism's become less and less important, less and less relevant. And here's what I would say. If you've got a Christian out there who's got all these tattoos, what I would say to him is, you know what you need to do? You need to get baptized. Now, right. It's possible he has been baptized, in which case I would say, you need to start respecting that baptism and that identification with Christ yourself. See that that's sufficient, and maybe try to get rid of your tattoos if possible. You know, at least try to get rid of your tattoos and just turn to God and say, God, I'm identifying with you. I don't need to identify with anything else, and I don't really need to adapt my body in any other way. I think what happens also is that people want to carve up their bodies. They want to reform their bodies. They want to recreate their bodies. And this is a bit of rebellion, because didn't God give them the body they have?
Right.
Didn't God say, this is the person I want you to be? And when somebody in a postmodern age that is so filled with self-actualization and the humanist concept of self-definition, because that's what humanism is all about. Guys, you need to understand, humanism is all about recreating yourself in an image that you established for yourself. It's setting a direction for yourself independent of God. And that's the very definition of humanism. That's the centrality of man in the metaphysic. And Steve, God creates us who he wants us to be. Now, it is true, there are certain things that he needs us recreated in, and that happens to be in areas like righteousness, holiness, and knowledge. We need some recreation going on in us because of the fall.
Right, but that's not us that does that.
That's still the Spirit of God.
That's right.
That works that in our lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, tattooing, very, very important subject today on the Generations broadcast. And Steve, I'm just trying to salvage something of Christianity in the 21st century. I honestly think it's time for us to note the sacraments of apostasy, the cultural emanations of apostasy. That's why I wrote my book, Apostate. It's a very, very basic book on what apostasy looks like as hundreds of millions of millennials are walking away from the church and walking away from the faith and finding themselves new cultural expressions and brand new cultural sacraments. And I'm telling you, my friends, if you want to salvage something of the faith in the 21st century, I would encourage you to grab a copy of my book, Apostate, available at our website, kevinswanson.com. I've got a second book, a sequel coming out called The Tattooed Jesus. And that's going to address these issues and a whole lot others, as Christians need to recognize the cultural expressions of a worldview gone south. You need to understand not just worldviews, but how worldviews express themselves in culture. And that's what we've been talking about on this edition of the Generations Radio Broadcast. Get the book Apostate for your kids and your grandkids now at our website, kevinswanson.com. We have reductions for bulk prices as well at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.